Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Your Life After Trauma with Michelle Rosenthal on CV Radio 95.9 FM, 106.9 FM, and 960 AM. Michelle is a trauma survivor, post-trauma coach, and the founder of HealMyPTSD.com. To reach Michelle with your questions or to share your own experience, call 877-960-9960. Now, here's Michelle Rosenthal.
Hey, good evening, and welcome to Your Life After Trauma. Because you know you cannot go back to who you were before the world intruded, but you can move forward into a life of productivity, meaning, joy, happiness, and really who you feel or think or hope or even in the tiniest way believe you can be. So tonight, as we always do, I've got two different perspectives for you. One, the professional perspective. Two, the survivor perspective on how to live a life of meaning after trauma. And I've been thinking about that all week as I thought about whether or not I was actually even going to be in the studio to do the show live tonight because, as you know, here in South Florida, we were looking at Irene, and on Monday I woke up and Irene was, I don't know, we were in the cone, and I moved here from New York City 6 years ago, and I've learned to respect the cone. So I was thinking, what am I going to do? We're not going to be able to go live. And then, you know, as the week went on and I sort of have gotten hip to the whole South Florida thing, you listen, you watch the news, and you wait, and you wait, and things change almost every hour. And as we got closer and closer to today, I thought, okay, this is going to be cool and the day is going to be fine and I had a lot to do today. And I don't know about you, but if you have a dog, you will understand when I say it seemed like Irene just followed me around all day today. Because every time Bailey and I tried to go outside, and I have this phenomenal little Wheaton Terrier, oh, he gets so excited to go outside. His little feet dance and he starts to sneeze and we go outside and immediately it starts sheets of rain. And if you've been in the Palm Beach Gardens area, you know what I mean, that every time you try to go out, it's like Irene just knows you've stepped out your front door. But be that as it may, here we are. I've been drenched four times today, but I am finally dry, and I am so looking forward to talking to someone really special tonight. One of my guests tonight is Dr. Alex Patakos. He is the founder of the Center for Meaning. He is the protege of Viktor Frankl, and he happens to be a personal friend of mine. He wrote the foreword for my book, which comes out next March, my PTSD recovery memoir, called Before the World Intruded. And he's got such a wonderful, soulful, genuine, personal sort of perspective on how to make meaning. And he himself understands and knows trauma, and he's built a whole life on teaching the rest of us how to make meaning. And so he'll be joining us tonight, and later in the show, Hank Estrada is a survivor of abuse, and he is making meaning. Honestly, the man is on a meaning rampage. He is making meaning by speaking out about his abuse. He's been on Oprah. He's been on the Today Show. He's been in hundreds of newspapers. And he is coming on the show tonight to talk about not only his post-trauma experience, but also how he is converting that into making a life of meaning. So as we get started, I am going to introduce you to Alex Patakos. If you have any questions as we go along for Alex, if you've got thoughts about what makes meaning, and I'm going to share with you a lot of other people's ideas about what makes life meaningful after trauma, but you can call in and tell me your ideas at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960. Now, Alex Patakos is, well, it's Dr. Alex Patakos. He is a quote-unquote modern-day Greek philosopher. He's internationally recognized leader of the meaning movement. I bet you didn't know there was a meaning movement. And now tonight you get to join it. He's also the co-founder of the OPA Way, which is a new lifestyle of living your inner Greece, living all of life to the fullest with enthusiasm and meaning. Alex is the author of the international best-selling book, Prisoners of Our Thoughts. And let me just tell you, I've read it. It's a great book. It really gives you concrete steps for how to change and how to liberate yourself from your thoughts, which is so important when you're in that post-trauma phase. And Alex is also a U.S. Army veteran. So as a U.S. Army veteran and as a former therapist and mental health administrator, he gets this topic. So it's with great pleasure that I welcome my good friend, Alex Patakos. Hi, Alex. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to be with you, Michelle.
Thank you so much. So before you and I get into a big discussion, I want to read you something. I've been posting on the Heal My PTSD Facebook fan page this question: what makes life meaningful after trauma? And I had some really interesting answers and some challenges. So I want to share it with you, and then perhaps you'll help us figure out how to overcome the challenges. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
Okay, so in response to this question, what makes life meaningful after trauma, Chastity wrote, "The people we love." Jen wrote, "Realizing you made it through it for a purpose." Shannon wrote, "Helping others." Johanna added, "Knowing who is there for you no matter what happens." Tracy said, "My kids." Therese, "Meditation." Kelly said, "Knowing that my angels were and are there helping me along so that I can help others." Madeline added, "Your family and your friends." Angela said, "My son, my sister, and her four children, my cats, music, and good books." And then, and there were many more. I'm not going to read all of them, but friends and family. And then I get down to Steve, who says, "Just a flat nothing. Nothing is meaningful after trauma." And Michael, who wrote, "Describe meaningful." So my two challenges for you tonight, Alex, are to...
Mission impossible.
Yeah, not really, because you're so inspiring and your philosophical take on things and your humanity and your effervescent sort of personality, I think you're going to be able to help me figure these things out. So let's start with, what does it mean for something to be meaningful?
Well, you know, one of the great ways of answering that question, and by the way, I heard a little bit about your introduction before you introduced me, and I hope that the weather and everything else is getting better and that you're not, you know, no longer in the path of the hurricane.
Oh, thank you. No, we're not. We're not. It's now bearing down on the northeast. I'm hoping that all of them are okay. It's going straight up towards the Carolinas and New York and New Jersey.
Okay, good. Well, one of the ways of answering the question, because I get asked obviously this question over and over and over again about, you know, what makes life meaningful and what is meaning and so forth. And one of the best ways of starting to frame a response to that is to ask yourself, what makes life meaningless? So reverse the question. Think about meaninglessness in the context of your work, in the context of your personal relationships, just in the context of your everyday living. And when you start to put those kinds of ideas that you would come up with on a list, then obviously the exercise, the challenge that I do in my own life and the challenge that I have to do when I do work with other people individually and in groups is to try to figure out then how do we overcome those conditions or those characteristics that people are starting to identify as being really a source of meaninglessness rather than a source of meaning. So that's one starting point.
Can you, I think that sounds really interesting. Can you work with me for a minute and just show me how that goes? So let's just say you ask me what makes something meaningless,
and
I say, well, my life is meaningless because I didn't deserve to survive. Now, what do I do with that?
What was your answer?
I didn't deserve to survive.
I didn't deserve to survive.
Mm-hmm. So life is meaningless now because I don't feel I deserve to be here.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I guess in that particular case, as opposed to something that might be more tangible, you know, automatically saying like what's meaninglessness at work is when I'm treated with disrespect or my job doesn't seem to have any creative expression to it or something like that, then obviously you can see there's more tangible ways strategically that we can move forward.
Mm-hmm.
When you do something like what your response, your response in some respects is very similar to what you described Steve's response, that there, you know, that meaning and post-trauma doesn't exist. for him. And so what's happened when you get to that point is that the first step, and this goes back to prisoners of our thoughts, and this is obviously a piece of what hopefully I can share a little bit about the Opal Way, really has to do with exercising the freedom to choose your attitude. And the first thing when you say, I didn't deserve to survive, we'd want to dig deeper into the whys of what that means,
mm-hmm.
in terms of what do you mean by that? what are the things that are driving you that basically make you feel and give you this notion, this attitude that you really weren't, it really wasn't something that you should have been able to survive. You're very well aware, and most listeners would be aware of this, is that when Prisoners of Our Thoughts, for example, was used to develop a volunteer aid program in Indonesia after the Asian tsunami, and then we also used it, the principles, after Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, there was a tremendous amount of survivor guilt. Because when you think about, and many of us probably have forgotten, that there was a terrible, horrific tsunami in Asia before what happened in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And hundreds of thousands of people were literally killed, and multiple generations of families disappeared. So the survivors were really wondering, why did my wife or my kids or my parents or my grandparents not survive and I did? So survivor guilt is obviously something that's tremendously important and certainly something that's prevalent in any sort of traumatic experience. And so part of it is to really delve deeper into what it is that you're really saying when you feel that you don't. Is it about somebody else who didn't survive? Is it about something that specifically you did or didn't do?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we have to get to those sources of guilt in order to help reverse the attitude and move you towards a path where you can start to see some of the things some of the other people were describing to you in terms of their connection to other people, family, friends, faith, whatever.
Right.
So it's not something that I can respond to and say, well, here's the quick and dirty silver bullet, here's the answer. But it requires what we refer to in the field of logotherapy and what is described, again, in Prisoners of Our Thoughts, is doing some sort of meaning analysis. It's really existential mm-hmm. analysis, to use a more academic way of saying it. It's really digging deeper into who you are as a human being and what makes you valuable as a human being.
Right.
And Viktor Frankl, who was my mentor and myself, we obviously believe that all human beings have value and that the human spirit is something that can be very much more resilient, and so that we all have something that is important enough to want to survive. But having that will, there's a saying in Prisoners of Our Thoughts, and it's also going to be a saying in our new book on the Opal Way, that basically it says, we all heard the notion, if there's a will, there's a way.
Definitely.
And we also now add to that, but where there's an aim or a purpose, there's a will.
Oh, I like that.
Get that?
I like that. So, yeah, hold on just a second. My guest is Dr. Alex Patakos. We're talking about how to make meaning in your life after trauma on CVU Radio. So, Dr. Patakos, okay, I get it. So let's just say that we find the way to shift from that meaningless perspective to I
Correct.
Want to make meaning.
Correct.
Okay, so now, giving us the benefit of the background of all of your studies and your own thoughts and leading us into what the Opal Way is all about, what would be the first step somebody could take in terms of deciding to choose the attitude that you spoke of earlier, that idea of being able to exercise a choice of what our attitude is?
Okay. Well, I'm going to put it in the context of the Opal Way in 1 second, because I think it will help to kind of give it kind of a framework. But let me say something else first that may be provocative for some listeners, and it's something that differentiates the work that I've done for many years and the work that other people who are interested in the search for meaning also do. And that is the belief that we don't make meaning. We don't actually create meaning. What we do is we discover meaning. And so meaning, and this is something that I learned from Viktor Frankl, who, as most listeners would know, survived 4 Nazi death camps, including Auschwitz. And it's also something that I know from my own experiences that with trauma over many, many years, is that meaning exists all around us all the time. It's almost as if we're all living on top of a frozen lake, and under that ice is the common pond of water. And And that body of water, we say, is meaning. And it's up to us to figure out how to penetrate that ice, get through that barrier to discovering what the meaning is under any particular circumstance we may be experiencing. So that's an important distinction. So that even in the cases where, you know, we're looking at, we're really not creating something. It's already there. You know, it's almost like the collective consciousness. It's in the universe. Meaning is there. And it's our purpose in life to continuously look for and discover what the meaning is of every circumstance that we happen to experience in our lives. So I'm just throwing that out, you know, for thought.
I hear that. I understand that. And really what I'm hearing you say is that we don't have that sort of takes out the why me issue, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I had a meeting today with the Department of Children and Families because we're going to be doing some collaborations, and we got into this whole discussion of the why me syndrome, which I have to admit, you know, plagued me for a while. And really what you're saying then is we don't have to wonder why me. Just forget about the why and figure out what.
Sorry.
The what is the meaning, not why is it happening to me.
Yeah, exactly. And so part of it is that in the terms of doing that, what you just said, which is a great way of proceeding, is that when you know that there is meaning out there, even under circumstances where you're really so, you know, that was a terrible situation, it was traumatic, or it was something I would not have planned in my life, you know, what is it that I can do to spend time discovering what that deeper and ultimately that authentic meaning, because there are a lot of many meanings that we see in our life, you know, that aren't necessarily the more substantive things that help us really grow and develop as human beings. But that's really what our purpose is in life. Is Viktor Frankl said, you know, that the meaning of life is the search for meaning. So it's an interesting process. And if we think about the universe as being basically we're all connected, all is one, and so forth, that, you know, we're all experiencing this. Mm-hmm. And this is what, you know, with many people that get into the mind-body medicine and the non-local mind thing are starting to recognize is that there are things out there that we know in some respect, but we really don't know why and how it is we know it. But we're still personally responsible for trying to discover it. And so if you get away from the why, and it wouldn't just be, it's oh, poor me for most victims.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Well, poor me, I'm the victim, and so forth. And we're all victims in some respect because, you know, and it's up to us to determine whether or not, you know, we're going to allow those circumstances to predetermine who we are.
That's where we're going to pause. That thought is exactly what I think is so important. So hold that thought and let's expand on it and get into what is the OPA way and how can it help us make meaning when we come back on Your Life After Trauma on CVU Radio. Hi, I'm Michelle Rosenthal. You always hear me say that we don't heal in isolation, we heal in community. I bet in your own life you can remember a time when having the support of others made an enormous difference in how you were able to cope and rebound. The fact is, we're so much stronger when we come together. Now, you can play an important role in supporting survivors on their quest to live happy, productive lives. Join the community of this show by becoming a sponsor or advertiser of Your Life After Trauma. With a variety of opportunities, you can give back in a way that truly makes a difference. For more information about how you can help make someone feel better, call 561-799-2419. That's 561-799-2419. You can also email me at michelle@yourlifeaftertrauma.com. That's michelle, michelle@yourlifeaftertrauma.com. Conquering the past and creating the future is up to all of us. Join me. We don't heal in isolation. We heal in community. Welcome back to Your Life After Trauma with me, Michelle Rosenthal. And we are back on Your Life After Trauma, and we are streaming live on CVUradio.com. And you, right now, can go watch me and join me in the studio. If you go to yourlifeaftertrauma.com, there's a listen live button and a watch the webcam so you can see me. I'll wave to you. And you can also, while you're there, sign up for radio show notifications so that during the week, if you missed part of this show, we're going to send you the archive. Actually, you can even listen to the archives anytime on yourlifeaftertrauma.com. And we will always be sending you a notice about what's the topic for the week to come so that you don't even have to wonder or try to remember. You can just wait for us to tell you. So now it's time for the recovery tip of the week, which this week is have compassion for yourself. I know it's not easy, but over and over, I'm struck by how much and how often we learn about ourselves in the post-trauma recovery process. And you know what else? I'm amazed at how the process prepares us to be stronger, more proactive, and more true to ourselves people, which means by the time we're trauma-free, we've really worked at becoming the best of who we can be, which is such an enormous gift to accomplish. So being kind to yourself in the midst of this discovery process is critical to giving yourself the space and time to learn. Think about children. You expect them to have a learning curve, and you would be kind and supportive as they navigate the world and come to learn and understand things. So imagine yourself as a child in the post-trauma world. You are learning every day. Be nice to yourself so that you can explore and grow without fear of repercussion. And I'm welcoming back to the show tonight Dr. Alex Patakos, founder of The Opal Way, author of Prisoners of Our Thoughts, and the man who maybe just 15 minutes ago was talking about how we discover meaning rather than make it. Dr. Patakos, thank you for waiting and coming back for this segment.
I'm here.
All right, so let's keep moving forward then. Yeah. We left and you were about to describe how The Opal Way can help give us a framework for discovering meaning.
Okay, well let me pronounce The Opal Way correctly for all listeners so they understand what the heck this is.
Okay.
It's based on Greek culture and philosophy, so we can actually pronounce it The Opal.
The Opal.
Okay.
Is that better?
So anybody that's ever been to a Greek festival or a wedding where there's been dancing or a Greek restaurant has probably heard the word opa when people are dancing, breaking plates, you name it. So basically what this is, it's really the next evolution of what's in Prisoners of Our Thoughts, trying to take what is the search for meaning to a level that will not only educate and inspire people to pursue that their own personal path to meaning, but also entertain them along the way, to make it fun, to make it easier to stick. So the message doesn't look like it's just quote-unquote therapy. Because the idea of asking about the meaning of our lives is actually healthy. And so for people to start thinking about looking at themselves as having inadequacies and illness and so forth is really, I'm trying to shift that state of consciousness to something that's more focused on health and wellness. So the OPA way is really a healthy way. And if we look at OPA, that word, and there's a lot in the OPA way that comes again from ancients, going back to the Minoan civilization on the island of Crete, to through the Socratic philosophers, up to traditional village life in Greece and in the islands. The idea behind the OPA is really encapsulated in a framework that we've been developing that really looks at OPA also not only as a word but as an acronym. And the acronym, very simply, and the listeners will totally resonate with this because it actually covers many of the things, Michelle, you've been talking about and the responses you got to the question about meaning. The O stands in OPA for connecting meaningfully with others. Others, I mean, this is family, friends, coworkers, customers, patients, students. And there are a number of lessons. There's actually 9 lessons totally that are going to be in this new book on the OPA way, 3 under each of the O, 3 under O, 3 under P, and 3 under A, that relate in this case to connecting meaningfully with others and how you do that, how you honor other relationships, how you honor yourself, which is somewhat what you just said in your advice. So the others is really the O. The P really reflects engaging with deeper purpose. So you can see how that relates to meaning. You also can see many of the people that described to you about what came out, what meaning came out of their particular trauma, was very purposeful. I mean, it really gave them a new lease on life, so to speak.
It did a whole perspective about what was important.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. As a matter of fact, I mean, most of the people that I've seen that have gone through trauma are actually more resilient than those who have not. And also, I've seen more people who've gone through very rocky, turbulent lives, including extreme cases of trauma, that have turned out to be the most extraordinary, inspirational people on this planet. So there's hope. I mean, it's not just about recovery. It's not just about surviving. It's about thriving and being a role model for others, which is incredible.
Absolutely. It's like J.C. Dugard.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
Went through something so horrible, and now she's speaking out. Elizabeth Smart, these people who come out and exemplify exactly what you are describing.
Yeah. And what you're doing in your memoir, what you're doing with this radio show, are examples of that type of growth and development that people who are living on autopilot, who never seem to have a bump or they don't even want to acknowledge that there's a bump along the road, don't ever get a chance to experience, and they certainly don't become them, the people that you look to for inspiration.
That's true.
So the P is about engage with deeper purpose. And then the A, which relates, again, you can see very closely to some of the principles and prisoners of our thoughts, is embrace life with attitude. And the A is attitude. So this is embracing the fullness of life. This is grabbing, not just, you know, looking for work-life balance or everything is going to be hunky-dory, but it's really understanding that life has ups and downs. You know, opa, a Greek, good Greek word, and as you know, I'm of Greek heritage. But if anybody's ever seen the movie, you know, Zorba the Greek, and I know, mm-hmm. you know, Michelle, you and I have a connection to that.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea behind Zorba at the very end, that last dance scene, when everything is falling apart in the particular story of this particular Zorba the Greek story that's in the movie and in the book. And what does Zorba do? I mean, it's basically saying, you know, look, you know, let's dance. I mean, we've got to embrace this catastrophe and turn it into something that's positive, because if we don't, we become prisoners of our thoughts, we get stuck, and we don't continue to live life to the fullest.
Exactly.
And so the idea of dance to the Greeks and the idea of dance in Opa is really about living all of life to the fullest with enthusiasm, which, by the way, the word enthusiasm comes from two Greek words, and it actually can be translated in English as manifesting the spirit within. So if you think about people who are enthusiastic about what they do, mm-hmm. they don't necessarily need drugs to control them. It's basically they're manifesting what is really their God-given right.
And bringing back anything that trauma tried to suppress. It's bringing
Absolutely.
That back up, that enthusiasm.
Absolutely.
Dr. Patakos, we're getting to the end of our time, and I don't want to leave without you telling everybody where they can find more, because I know that you have a great site all about this.
Well, the website is continuing to evolve. The website is really an opportunity for people not only to learn more about the OPA Way, but also to join an online OPA Village. And you can go to www.theopaway.com. That's theopaway.com. You can also follow what we're doing on Twitter at The Opa Way. And both of those resources will point you to what's happening with the launch of our new book with blog writing. As Michelle, you know, I write for The Huffington Post,
right.
and Fast Company Magazine, and so forth. So you'll learn more and more about what The Opa Way is all about, how you apply it in your personal life, your work life, and so forth.
And Prisoners of Our Thoughts is also available on Amazon, correct?
Prisoners of Our Thoughts, which
mm-hmm.
is now in 20 languages. I'm actually leaving next week for Greece. The 20th language is a Greek edition,
oh.
and we'll be launching it across Greece.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Dr. Patakos. Thank you so much for being
You're welcome.
With me
Thank you
tonight.
For having me.
Have a great night.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
For more information about Changing Direction Radio and to listen to our free archives and podcasts, visit changeyouchoose.com.